You guys look like you got tons of energy.
Has anybody had that crud that's going around? No? A little bit? Yeah? Some? And man, it's going around big. Somebody told me Benton County, I can't remember where I heard that, was maybe the most flu cases in the United States. Anybody hear that? Maybe that's hearsay. Could easily be. So I watched this video this morning that said, was reminding you, if you don't want to get that stuff, so you wash your hands a lot, take vitamin D. Now, this guy was saying, if you can get naked out in the sun, that's the best thing. I thought, you've done that, Drew? I thought that might be the case. But I'm not going to do that. And they say that's harder to do in the winter, that you'd really, because of the angle of the sun, you're not getting enough vitamin D anyway. So maybe you got to take the supplement, the vitamin D. Has anybody ever taken zinc before? Yeah? Some? Yeah? Matthew? You're saying take that. I can't remember all the stuff he was saying take. Of course, vitamin C, but do the organic version so it can break down. Anyway, there's some tips. Let's try to keep healthy because it is going around. Let me open with prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we're sure grateful to you, Lord, for this new semester ahead. So much in front of us. And Lord, we know that you have great things in store for us, great things for understanding that we're going to obtain this semester that's just going to be life-changing. Lord, we pray for that. Pray we'd walk headlong into that. Lord, I pray that we'd apply ourselves to gain your wisdom, apply our hearts, and have the self-discipline to do that too. Lord, I pray time here where the sickness is going around, Lord, I pray you'd keep us healthy as a campus. Just pray for health for each one here. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. So we've got a few things going on this morning. Oh, okay. We'll start with this. Yeah, Donna, would you come on up? We have just a couple of announcements, too. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on is that what we've done is we've formed an academic committee. And I think we said this at the end of last semester as well. But Liz, who is pursuing her doctorate right now, is going to be the academic chair of that committee. We've had some great meetings headed toward self-study and reaffirmation of accreditation that's coming up. Anyway, so she's going to cover the dean's list here in just a little bit. So some of y'all have done really well. But before that, Donna's got a few announcements.
Thank you. Good morning. This is great to have a new beginning, and just want to congratulate every one of you for coming back. I believe everybody except one person that I was expecting has shown up or is on the way. So that's really, really good. No, graduation date is still Friday, Saturday at 10:30. That'll be the 5th, May the 5th. Uh-huh. So finals are 1 through 4. We need to improve your GPA. And then the last thing is you have a week that is pretty much free to make changes in your registration. So all the way through Monday, you're free to add or drop a class if you need to make any adjustments, and you just need to come see me in my office. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
So this is the dean's list. Or it says smart people. So this is a smart people list. And would you, when your name's called, will you come up, please, so I can hand you the certificate? Tyler John Bowley. He's here. Yeah. Isaac Garland Carlson. I'm going to leave off those middle names. Cameron Doherty. Tyler. And is that? Okay, I've got a stumper. How do you say it?
Malacio.
Malacio. Haley Grisham. Yeah, Michelle Luna.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Matinta.
Good job.
Eliason. Tiffany Pate. Rollins, not back yet. Roberto Rodriguez.
Thank you so much.
Tara Smith. Denisha Stallings. JT. Arturo. Luis. Drew. How about just a happy dance instead of a speech?
I just want to thank everyone here for all they've done for me in my life.
Donna, those were 3-5 to just short of 4 points, right? And these are the 4 points. So, Noah Banks is first. Just a few of these. Randy Davis. Ethan Elledge. Ethan, yeah, 4 point. Not here. Oh yeah, there's Ethan, yeah. Stephen Morphew. Jumped up like you knew you had that coming too. That's it. You did. So. Molly Page. Good job on that. And Brent Phillips. Hey. Good job. Never judge a book by its accent, right? Never. Look at that. That was awesome. You got it. Devin. We must have a mistake. I don't know. No, he applied himself. Got it. Which way are you going? Good job. So I know Dotsa's not back either, but Jody? Did Jody make it back yet? Yep. Great job. Jody, I'm not surprised at all. Study a lot. Well, great job for those of you who just picked up an envelope there today. And for those of you who didn't, that opportunity is before us this coming semester. And what did it take? What did it take to be Dean's List or President's List? What did that take? Showing up to class probably was a good thing, right? Yeah. A little studying. Realize some classes aren't as hard as others and all that, but well, good job. And we want to get off to a great start this semester. And Donna had asked if I would just kind of re-share vision from this Second Peter passage. So some of you are pretty familiar with this, and others, you know, they're new, may not have drilled down on this at all before. But I think very appropriate to the beginning of a semester and how we'd approach the semester if we want to be successful. So I'm going to skip down to verse 3. Actually, I'm going to go back up to verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. One of the things we're after in college, and we're after more than that, but is knowledge. I think a lot of people reduce it too much just to knowledge, but it is important. It's just important what it gets built upon. But grace and peace will be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And those are great things, obviously, in our lives, grace and peace that we, every one of us, need and have been given. Verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So what's left out of that? I mean, all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'd say that's pretty all-encompassing thing. So where's the source of that? What did it say? His divine power. So how do you tap into His divine power? How do we do that? Surrender, for sure. Probably listening is another good thing. What else? Where do we tap into divine power? That's potent stuff. Can we do anything on our own, really, of any significance, of any worth? Certainly not past this life. I would say one place we tap into divine power is the Word of God, and that's, you could say it from a lot of angles, but that's one of the reasons we have 30 hours of Bible requirement. And I think, pretty much everybody is in at least one Bible class per semester or something like that, some more. It's because it's what's most important, and it's what other things build on. If we build on something other than that, we're heading down the wrong road. But so His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So we got to get knowledge of Him. So where's the source of that? Where are we gonna get knowledge of Him? The Bible, for sure. And I think we're also talking about the intimate knowledge where you're that in prayer and the fellowship with Him, but certainly from His Word too. Good. By which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. We want those. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's a little mysterious, isn't it? Through what are we going to become partakers of the divine nature? And what's the divine nature? So He's granted to us precious and very great promises. Now those are also found in His Word. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature as we grow in Him. Tap His power. Have His power in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Yeah, what a challenge for all of us, huh? Ask yourself this question: do you even want to escape from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire? Your flesh doesn't, right? But have you had that out? Have you had that internal? Have you debated that within yourself of who's gonna win out? My flesh that wants that corruption because of that sinful nature, or am I gonna try to? Have some self-discipline to try to tap into that divine power, to try to have that knowledge. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to take the energy. I'm going to take the everything that's required to have the self-discipline to go after what's worth something to me, because otherwise I'm not escaping the corruption of the lust of the flesh. I'm just feeding it, right? It's one or the other. So we want to make sure we've had that out. Take the right approach. So for this very reason, what reason? All that that we just talked about. We want to escape that corruption. Sorry, I'm going to have to wipe my nose here. Sorry. So for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. So what were the reasons again? We want to escape the corruption and lust of the flesh. We want to be partakers of his divine nature. We want to tap into his divine power. We want that grace and peace multiplied in our lives. We want the knowledge of him. I'd like to walk headlong into those great and precious promises, wouldn't you? And I'd like to obtain everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's there available for us, but it's not forced on us, not thrust upon us. It does require our desire that's coupled with the effort to obtain. He makes it available. His sacrifice made it available. So for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Starts with faith. How do we have faith? How do we get faith? Where does faith come from? Faith comes from God, but what's some specific ways that faith in God, what's some specific ways we can build our faith? Going through trials? Yeah, I mean, perseverance can sure enough produce something in us if we take it the right way. Yeah. Obedience for sure. Yeah, there's no faith without obedience. That's good, TJ. There is no faith without obedience. To tell yourself that you're full of faith and yet don't obey God, and when he says diligently seek him and this kind of thing, you're just fooling yourself on that, you know. So that's faithful. If we're going to be faithful in our part, there's going to be an obedience to it, to what he instructs. So faith comes, somebody said it back there, faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing the word of God. I think our faith is built through testimonies too, and some of those may be what you're referring to, Pete, sometimes we'll go through things. We've been going through some things where we've had some fundraising challenges over this last semester, and I have seen just absolute miracles, like the kind of things where right on time, the right amount of money from sometimes unanticipated and highly unlikely sources that God used. Obviously, he's the source that he just supplied miraculously. Well, those things build my faith. So add to your faith virtue. Some translations will say character or moral excellence or goodness. But you add to your faith virtue. And virtue, you add knowledge to that. So if knowledge comes, if you're just after knowledge, and there's a lot of people in the world that are after knowledge. There's a lot of people at secular colleges, and they're after knowledge, but they're skipping over the faith and the virtue. That knowledge will literally be a disservice to them, to their life. How do I know that? The Bible says that knowledge makes you proud. So there's two different kinds of knowledge. There's the knowledge of him, and then there's false knowledge. Chapter 2, we won't go into, is all about false knowledge, false teachers. And the way we become or succumb to false knowledge and false teachers is just not having that foundation of faith and virtue to have any discernment. So we want to make sure on that. And to knowledge, we add self-control. Well, that's fun, isn't it? Self-control. But you know, there is an aspect of this that's not just, you know, we hear a lot of messages that say, oh, it's just God's grace. Well, I think there's a way to overstate that. Not that God's grace isn't amazing, right? But but God's grace is a source of power as well. And we can either lean into it and apply it, appropriate it in our lives, or we can stay, or we can avoid God's grace. And many of us do. That power to do what's right. So self-control. You know, self-control, steadfastness, fastness. I'm going to skip on. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, the qualities of faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. If those things are yours and increasing, here's what you're going to have. That's going to keep you, if those things are yours and increasing, that's going to keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, obviously we want to be effective and fruitful in that. For whoever lacks these things, so here's the side of the folks who say, "Well, I'm just going to wing it on into the semester, see what I can do to serve my flesh." So here's your prize at the end of that approach. Whoever lacks these things, these qualities, is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So you literally get to where you can't even see. I have a lot of, you know, I've been dealing with some different friends who, and I know every one of us could list a lot of stories where if we're not staying rooted and grounded, if we're not building on that foundation of faith and virtue, that nearsightedness and that blindness will take us horrible places, right? I imagine all of us have been, all of us have been for sure, to some degree of that nearsightedness or blindness, and probably in our right now. But what we want to do is we want to go from, we want to go toward light, right, and toward sight. We want to have clarity of how to go forward. We want to hear God's voice rather than being nearsighted and blind and just falling into one problem after the next, right? Well, this is exactly how you get it right here. There's zero substitute. Can't make it up on our own. Can't have a different way. No such thing as that. The only way. So whoever lacks these qualities, so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. And that's, most versions will start out with the word, with all diligence. Just because that's the approach you want to take it with. Because if we halfway do it, I don't know, I was thinking this morning about if we, does anybody remember the definition for diligent? That'd be something. Man, there'd about to be points for that. Remember we had that character quality? That'd be something. Well, it's I know we're all probably familiar at least, but it says, one definition I've seen says, investing all my time and energy to complete each task. I think that's insufficient, probably more sufficient to say, remember we had those five T's, the thought, time, talent, treasure, trust, in other words, everything. So the definition of the word diligence has the word all in it. And then the Bible says with all diligence. What's that movie where it says crazy loco or something like that? So it's, what does loco mean? It's crazy. So it's crazy, crazy. What is it? Anybody remember that? But it's, you know, this is God saying all. As a, you know, kind of a dip, so if all isn't all already, but we got all, put everything into it. In other words, into adding to your faith, virtue, your virtue, knowledge, your knowledge, self-control. And if we apply ourselves, and this is with everything in life. Everything in life has a degree of this, but it's kind of different. Like you know, in sports, for instance, I know that you're trying to, you know, trying to increase muscle, or you're trying to, you're trying to better some skill. You know, if we apply ourselves fully, we're going to make bigger gains, right? In that, but we can still make some gains if we kind of halfway do it, right? We can make some gains. It's just not going to be as big, right? But I think with God, he's looking for everything, right? And that doesn't mean we're all at the same place at once, but he does want all of us, all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I don't think he's looking for, well, I'm going to give you a little bit, God. I don't think you'll find that'll turn out the same way as if you apply yourself a little bit in class or a little bit in sports or something. Anyway, I just wanted to share, that this morning. I think from time to time, that's great. I know it's great for me to reexamine my own life, my own approach, and reflect back, okay, so at the start of a year or a semester or whatever, are you, you know, am I, am I really after what God's after for my life? And if I apply myself that way, man, the rewards are great. You see other places where Paul and Peter, talk about, and some of the miracles that took place with so many coming to Christ, because they're applying themselves in these ways, and so they're extremely useful, extremely productive, extremely fruitful for God. Chuck Sackman, I know most of you know Chuck Sackman, sent me a note the other day, and he said, he just said, it was early in the morning, he said, Orrin, praying for you this morning that you meet somebody that you can help be closer to Christ. I thought, well, that's a great prayer. But it made me think. Made me think, hey, am I approaching my day even looking for that opportunity? Is that on my radar at all? Probably really wasn't, if I'm honest there. I'm not opposed to it at all, but it's just a proactive thing. I need to be looking for those opportunities that God's bringing by. And so later on, then I have a friend, actually right at that time, that I was thinking, I need to call this guy. And he has just gone through losing his mom. He is in the middle of a divorce, should be finalized in the next few days. A pastor friend, and just hurting, from that. And basically, I think he had every opportunity here to go down an avenue of just depression and doubt. His wife, just flat out told him that there's a new king on my throne. It's not you. Kind of do that. So that's her word. It's like, wow, that's got to do something for your ego, doesn't it? And she knows it's wrong, but that's where she's at. So this guy, I was just able to pray with him. He wrote me a message back later saying, man, God used you today. So look for those opportunities. But if we're not replenished, if we're not filled up like we need to be, because we're daily in the Word and we're in prayer, we're adding to our faith virtue, and we're adding to our virtue knowledge, which, you're in an awesome place to do that. Commend you all for it. And I just want to say again, those who apply themselves to get those good grades, I think that's great. I know grades aren't everything, but they do indicate something, don't they? So I encourage us all to do that. All right, I think that's all I got. And I'm sorry, I feel like I'm kind of a downer today. I could take a nap right now. I don't know, energy. All right. 10 o'clock. We're free.